Conversations with professionals for professionals in the laundry and linen services industry. This is the American Laundry News Podcast. Welcome, everybody. I'm Matt Poe, editor of American Laundry News and your host for the American Laundry News Podcast. In episode 44, we're talking about labor and Joseph Ricci, president and CEO of TRSA, the Association for Linen, Uniform, and Facility Services, is my guest to provide a laundry labor update. Thanks for being here and sharing your insights on this important topic, Joe.
Matt, thanks for having me.
So to start off, give us an overview of the current state of hiring in the laundry and textile services industry.
Sure, Matt. We've spent a lot of time talking to our members. We've facilitated dozens of town halls. We went out on a road trip and visited a bunch of members throughout the last year or so. And during that time, we've seen real changes in the market. When we initially went out within last year, the market was not in good shape. We were in a plant and 10 people didn't show up one morning. And we asked them what they would do the next day if they showed up, and they said we'd have to keep them. And we've seen it improve. And in fact, right now we did a poll survey looking at sort of the first quarter of this year. And the majority of companies, 90% plus, are within their capacity of work, their body count, and the number of people they want to have on shift. Now, they are using some temporary labor and some short-term labor options as well. But the majority are really getting back to capacity in terms of the employee and labor market.
Okay, so how about what's the state of training and retention then?
That's one of the issues that the industry has struggled with, because they have been suffering so long with that they haven't been able to take the time to do a lot of training. They're doing a lot of on-the-spot training. As you know, in the industry, production, turnover is 50% every year in production employees anyway. And so now you're seeing turnover in other positions. It's been a little higher during the post-pandemic era here. And what we're seeing is you're not getting the training that would indoctrinate you into the culture of the company, because people are working extra, they're working overtime, they're adding extra days, they're getting shortchanged on the training they're doing. So we think that's a big piece of the turnover puzzle, is the culture issue. We look at the industry over the last, been doing this for over a decade now. We still have to send hundreds and hundreds of service awards every year for employees that serve 10, 15, 20, 30, 40 years in the industry. Those are everything from management and engineers to production workers. And so it's been a very stable industry over the years. And now we've seen more turnover recently. And I think that is suffering because the industry is working harder. The margins are tighter with inflation. People don't see it as a stable industry that it once was seen as because of the pandemic and the layoffs that took place.
So how are operations dealing with having fewer employees then?
Well, they're looking at options. As I mentioned, they're looking at things like temporary labor, which is expensive. They're looking at seasonal labor, where they're bringing in visa workers to cover some shifts. They're certainly looking to reinvest or invest more money in automation and things that reduce labor costs. Supply chain is holding some of that up, where you can't get the equipment they're looking to add. It's just delaying those processes. And they're looking for ways to try to improve the retention and recruitment. I think that's the big piece that they have to work on. Really, it's the retention piece, I think, is the biggest piece.
Okay. So are you seeing any indications that workers will return to the industry, or that new employees will start taking positions? You started talking about this a little bit, but go a little further with that.
Certainly. So we're hearing a few reports about employees not coming to work. There were some occasions when we talked to folks and they had route drivers that left during the route and left the vehicle. And they had to go pick it up. that's not happening anymore. People aren't, showing up half a day and leaving as much as they were. You talk to folks out in the field, they look at applications and they say, pre-COVID, we get 100 applications a week, or we get 40 applications a week, and it went down to zero at one point. Getting more applications now, and more real applications, not just people trying to keep their unemployment, real applicants. But they're still probably interviewing, we're hearing anywhere from, 10 to 12 to 15 people to hire two or three. And out of the two or three hired, they're hoping one sticks. And I think that's what people continue to see that. And you got to keep in mind that we had one of the hot topics pre-pandemic was employee shortages. The recruitment retention issue pre-pandemic, particularly in production workers and engineers. And that is now added, route drivers and drivers in general, just because of competition is taking a lot of those things away.
So what methods for attracting new employees are working that you have heard about?
Sure. There's a variety of things that folks are doing. And the number one is pay. We've talked to people and we've done surveys. 95% of the people we talk to are paying more for the jobs, such as production workers and maintenance engineers. In fact, if we look over our compensation study that we do annually over the last 3 years, those two positions have gone up over 20%. You know, some of that was driven by the minimum wage push pre-pandemic. Now it's being driven by labor shortages. So people are paying more for production workers, more for engineers. They're going to be paying more for drivers. And particularly if you look at those sectors as well, particularly the drivers and the maintenance engineers, you're also having an aging out, right? We have an aging industry. So you've got to replace people that have been around for a long time. But in addition to just wages, they're adding incentives, referral incentives to get more individuals into the company. They're adding bonuses for stay bonuses or, you know, retention bonuses, attendance bonuses, where, you know, if you show up every day for work, they're paying bonuses at the end of the month for that. So more dollar-driven things. They're also working on improving the working environment. There's been a lot of plants where they're either put in some kind of cooling system or talking about putting in a cooling system, venting systems in places where the least desirable jobs might be. You look at the industry as, you know, we look at it as four or five sectors, and you look at sort of an industrial sector, while it's heavy soil, it's pretty clean for employees, less handling of material. When you look at soil sort in an F&B or, you know, restaurant environment or in a healthcare environment, and those are, you know, they're unpleasant jobs. And so we've got to be making those more attractive. We've got to be cross-training people to serve in those roles and serve in other roles within the company, and look at job mobility. It's a big thing that employees are looking for, is job mobility. How can I move up or move around within an organization to get different skills and maybe move up? Because I still think our industry offers a lot for the less skilled, less educated to be able to develop a career. So we saw that a lot on our tour. We hear that a lot from our members that we talked to.
Okay. Well, you just mentioned bonuses for retention. What other strategies are working for retaining employees?
Well, I touched on a little bit there. I think, you know, one of the things is the change in the work environment, trying to put in automation that makes the jobs better. We were just down on the plant in Miami where they were trying to eliminate as many opportunities for injuries. So safety issues are certainly driving people remaining with companies. And a lot of it's cultural. We have we do some studies around and talk to folks. One of the big things is, do you have a friend at work, or, you know, they say best friend, but really, do you have colleagues that you have an attachment to at work? And that increases your engagement and retention. And so building these cultures certainly adds to that, where you're building a corporate culture, you want to stay within a company, you've got colleagues or friends at that company, it improves the engagement. So we hear a lot about, you know, during the pandemic, people stopped doing cookouts and stopped doing celebrations and stopped, you know, giving people their awards for longevity. And those things are all coming back now. And I think they're important. I think you have to do them on a regular basis. I think some should be scheduled, some should be surprises, but it's really you know, making people feel valued. I think it's a thing that we've done as an industry for a long time, and maybe we've lost track of some of that.
You talked about training and education, the advancement efforts. How does training and education affect hiring and retaining employees in the industry?
Well, I touched on a little earlier that the training and education really helps people get into the culture of the organization, understand their role within the process. I think that's really critical, to understand what they're doing impacts the entire line. We've heard a lot of talk about and a lot of positive feelings about our industry being an essential service. I think that resonates with workers across the board, whether they're production workers or higher up within an organization. I think training those individuals, getting them indoctrinated into the company. So just, you know, not just training on running a machine or operating a machine, but, you know, what's the industry, what's the business? What do we do? What's the family background if it's a, you know, independent operator? What's the culture of these publicly traded companies that will provide that individual some safety and security? Post-pandemic, you know, people are looking for a job that's going to be there if there's another downturn. I can't be out of work. And so what can we do to find jobs that have more stability? We, for a long time, have been a very stable industry. We've operated at a head of GDP. We've always had pretty consistent, steady growth. And while that continues, you know, the companies that are suffering the most during the pandemic were the ones that had big layoffs. So if you were in serving restaurants, F&B, or you were in the hospitality, working with hotels, you were laying off 90% of your workers. So getting them back is very, very difficult. So those struggled the most.
Mm-hmm. So what do you think will happen with the laundry labor market in the next 2 years and maybe even further out?
You know, I think, you know, there's a couple of things impacting that. I think you're going to see more automation, more equipment and investment in reducing the number of people necessary to handle the soil, or to handle the laundry and handle and process the laundry. So I think that's going to be an impact. So you'll need less people. I think you're going to see the environments change and become, the working environments become better. So I think you're going to be able to see some retention there. And then we're doing things to help, you know, companies reach out to, you know, tap new markets. You mentioned what are people doing to recruit new employees. And we're looking at community and government resources. So we talked to folks that are advertising in a Vietnamese job board based on some employee referrals. And they got 3 or 4 employees that way. So they're looking to their community. Okay. They're looking to government, looking at disabled individuals that may be able to come in and support it. I know we're launched a program in California that's a trial program with the California Prisons Industries Association, where there's folks that are working in prisons. They're incarcerated individuals now, but they work in the laundries there, and they are taking our certification self-study program. And what they will do is before they get released, they will take the program, they will pass the certification process, become certified professional laundry managers, and then we will help match them up with companies looking for employees in California. You know, that's a trial program. We got 20 people in that now. If that works in California, we're looking at implementing that in New York and other states as well. And while it's not going to, you know, be a panacea for providing hundreds of employees, it's really, it's another outlet for these companies to find individuals to fill these roles that, you know, have some experience in a laundry and committed themselves to get certified. So even though they were formerly incarcerated, you know, they've proven that they want to make an effort to better themselves.
Absolutely. Well, last question, what would your key piece of advice be to laundry operators about making the current labor market work for them?
We've heard this over and over again. We're paying people more, but I think you got to keep paying people more. I think wages have been too low for too long. So I think you've got to invest in employees. That's ultimately going to mean that you've got to do things to pass that cost along. So I think that's something the industry has to continue to look at. You're going to have to look at improving the environment and culture, like I said, the working environment, you know, venting areas where there may be odors that are uncomfortable, or looking at ways to make the less desirable job more desirable, or cross-training those individuals so they're doing it for a less period of time. I think, you know, right now, we've got to be looking at things, particularly for, you know, non-production workers, right? I think it's important that we bring in management level and above management level folks and do things that so they can come in and run these facilities. And I think you have to appeal to the essential services side, which I said, but really the sustainable side. I mean, we're a very green industry. And I think more and more individuals, certainly younger generation, our next generation executives group is very focused on the sustainability of our industry and promoting that to individuals when they come into this industry and talk to them about, you know, coming to work in the laundry. It's a, you know, it's a commercial laundry environment, but it's really a small business, and each one of these plants runs out its own business, and we run a sustainable operation where we're really using less water, less energy, less time than you would be doing it at home. And so there's lots of benefits that we add to that. And I think that's important. And then I think emphasizing, you know, what we do for hygiene, I think is really important as well, even for the people that are coming in, because it really triggers, everybody understands that now. Everybody understands, you don't have to explain what PPE is to anybody anymore. Everybody understands what PPE is. And we're vital to the healthcare sector. So people see that and they want to be part of that.
All right. Well, Joe, it's been great talking with you. Thanks for being on the podcast.
Thanks, Matt. Thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
And thank you for listening. For the American Laundry News Podcast, this is Matt Poe reminding everybody to keep it clean. The American Laundry News Podcast is a production of American Trade Magazines, LLC in Chicago. The music, titled Holding On, composed by Poddington Bear, is supplied through the Free Music Archive. For more information about future podcasts, visit our website at AmericanLaundryNews.com or consult The Wire, our weekly e-newsletter. Also, be sure to like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter to stay informed about these podcasts, along with news and information from around the industry. This has been the American Laundry News Podcast.